Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Oh, you noticed the new chapeau? It's not on my loot table, so don't try anything. Arise, my core. Did you get that chapeau?
Oh my gosh, that laugh. Everything else about that's great. Rise My Core is so good. It's like perfectly timed. Well done, Bo Schwartz. Hey everybody, it's Scott Johnson here, Bo Schwartz and John Jagger, and we're doing the Core Show. This is Core, all about Heroes of the Storm. And today's a great week for Heroes of the Storm. Got a new character, and she's out there supporting you and doing other stuff. So that's her. She has no pants. We're going to talk more about her a little bit. I have not played her at all. Completely haven't played her. I haven't even touched her. I swear, officer, I didn't touch her.
Yeah, you shouldn't. Yeah, just because she's wearing tantalizing clothing isn't an invitation for you to harass her.
No, Scott. It really isn't. I mean, I wish somebody had taught me that when I was younger, but you're right. But yeah, no, I haven't played with her. We'll talk about her later, though, and stuff. But we're kind of in a weird position right now. Blizzard in general, every couple of years, releases a new expansion to World of Warcraft. And how that applies to Heroes, we'll get to in a sec. But it's been crazy. There was a tree burning, and then there was some outrage. And then very quickly, there was some, oh, okay, I see where they're going with this. And then pretty quickly after that, there was some more cool stuff. And then we got an expansion coming next Tuesday. So in all of that lead up, all the ups and all the downs of it, and we have all shared plenty of opinions on other shows, on social media, with each other on Slack. Like, it's been a lot of talk about this stuff. If you're interested in a Chris Metzen take on specifically toxicity and fandom, listen to the interview I just did with him today, which you can find over at theinstance.net or frogpants.com or wherever you get your podcast, you'll find it. And we talked a bunch about that. So you get the perspective of the guy who invented most of the characters we're talking about. But I think it would be interesting if we talked about any of this stuff that's been going on as it would pertain to Heroes of the Storm. For example, I think leading up to this expansion, I was aware of Saurfang. I knew who he was, but I didn't really think he was that big of a deal. Kind of a bit player, been there for a while, had a big moment in Ice Crown. At the end of it, or during a raid, if everyone remembers, right? And people who've seen the new cinematic, the old soldier cinematic that features him, there's a scene where he talks to the corpse of his dead son. That's taken right from that raid encounter, which is pretty cool. But other than that, it's just sort of like, all right, he's one of the big shots in the Horde, but really that's about it. And then suddenly comes this old soldier cinematic and our minds are blown and we can't wait to talk about that guy more. And it's all very exciting. So I would like to just propose real quick and get everyone's thoughts. Why not bring him over to Heroes? And if we did, what would he be? Because right now he's what? He's a warrior.
Yeah.
We got a few of those. So what do you do to make Sarfang stand out? Does he throw his shoulder pad at somebody? Like, what's his... what would his kit be, John, if you were to move Sarfang, the old soldier, over to Heroes of the Storm? What would he be? What would he be?
His Q would be quiet introspection.
Mm-hmm.
His W would be comfort son.
Mm-hmm.
His E would be summon Zappy Boy. And his R would be surrender.
Perfect. I mean, that's the thing, is there's no way for us to really get Kit out of it, but it does seem like he could be an exciting, I mean, Bo, like a just a character, right? Like
he's a cool orc.
Yeah, he's a cool orc. Always
Is
has been.
Warcraft 3 at all?
Maybe. I don't remember. My Warcraft 3 memories
Warcraft
are...
3.
Oh, is he?
He's a world... Okay. I just because I'd assume if there's a Warcraft 3 incarnation of him, it'd be based on that, because they like to pull from units where they can.
Yeah, you know? That's
like,
true.
Can't remember who, but there's a hero they did that. They sort of deliberately, I guess, Sombrero, maybe?
Yeah.
That Windwalk and stuff like that. It's all like Warcraft 3 abilities, you know?
Right.
So if he did have some incarnation or was like something from Warcraft 3, that's what I'd assume.
Yeah. I mean, he's the problem is, as far as challenges go, he's kind of just another orc in some ways, design ways. He's got that cool, it's almost like he's wearing a bear trap around his face or his neck. Is that what that is, actually? Is it like a, like an old trap?
I think it's a, some sort of guard. I think it's an armor piece. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Like a
it was an
piece.
Old tier set for warriors back in the day. And I don't know if they knew what they were doing. I feel like somebody was like, put spikes around them. And it caught on and it looked cool. And next thing you know, it's on major lore characters. And now it's in a, now featured in its own cinematic.
It's kind of a,
I would say that we get the old soldier cinematic. If I didn't even play a single stitch of World of Warcraft, this expansion.
Yeah.
I bought it. I probably will.
Okay, I think I think you might.
Honestly, I've had my own little adventures this week. I bought that game and then played something else.
Yeah. Well, and, I mean, anyway, it's not out yet, so you're all right.
No, I know. So I'm fine. But I was a little worried. I'm still a little worried. I'm banning myself from No Man's Sky just to stop being cryptic about it. But
sure.
Basically, I can't control myself when I play that game. I cannot stop playing the game. I've been in
so
bed
great.
Like 5 in the morning on work nights, like 4 times a week. I'm dying here. Like, I'm going to delete it and not play it because it's too fun.
Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night going, I don't have enough ferrite dust, and then realize
exactly.
It was a dream?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just one more planet. Anyways, but back to Sarfang. I like that I can take this old soldier cinematic and just say, well, here's my new Heroes of the Storm cinematic.
Yeah.
Like, because they've got none of the hero. There's nobody in that trailer, I guess, except Sylvanas, who's in the game, really. So it's like, oh, this is like a new hero announcement for what's
right?
coming
minute.
Into the game.
Is that true? That is true. There is nobody
else. Well, I mean, there's Warbringers with Jaina and features Sylvanas more, but like...
But that's cinematic, though. Yeah, Zappy Boy's not in it.
John wrote, can Zappy Boy shine in the Nexus? And I'm like, hell yeah. In fact, part of me kind of wishes he showed up in the cinematic, we got him in Heroes, and he was still a mystery in World of Warcraft, but would show up maybe next expansion as a huge, big deal. Like, this young man he's in a cinematic, he has the potential, he's just a young man, like Anduin was a young boy, and now he's Mr. Badass Armor.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all it took. I didn't like Anduin for the longest time either. And then you put him in that armor, and I'm immediately...
Oh, everybody wants him now.
I'm just like, oh. Yeah. So I have this theory now that if you just put anyone in a suit of armor, like the person you dislike the most, you'll immediately kind of like them because they look cool.
Sure.
Old banana hair has come a long way.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, I think Sarfang... I don't know what Sarfang would have, but I definitely welcome... He's kind of old now, too, so he's cool. Like, all the orcs tend to have an age to them. But he just seems, I guess his white hair makes him seem like the oldest of all the major character orcs,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah. Well, I think technically he's like he's the oldest hand there, I think.
Yeah. Lord. So I feel like they'd portray him as old Sarfang. Old Sarfang. Sounds like
old Sarfang.
Some guy in the hill you don't want to run into. but yeah, he's, I think they'd both be very cool.
I do too.
I have a crazy idea.
Yeah.
So I put in the show notes, hey, you know, Jaina's got a very new look.
Yeah.
I mean, no, if you didn't know better and hadn't followed her, you wouldn't know that was Jaina, except for Anduin going, Jaina, you know, looking up.
Yeah.
But I was thinking like, oh yeah, they should put that as a skin for her in the game. And they kind of do. They have, you know, silver and gold hair Jaina, but like go for the whole outfit and all of that.
I agree.
But Jaina's showing some new skills, some new abilities. Mm-hmm. How wild would it be if they put in like Theramore Jaina as its own character?
Wait. Oh my god, that is nuts. So you're saying that because they pull from the multiverse that they can pull two of the same character from two different timelines at two different points in their story. So there's Jaina old and Jaina.
I was gonna call her Cold Tears. Jaina.
Yeah. Okay, called the future Jaina. Sorry, I can't help but be disparaging. I'm sorry.
Old Jaina.
But she's really the young one. That's the irony, right? It's old Jaina. But
call her daughter of the sea.
Sure.
Well, like, okay, let me put it this way. Ice Mage Jaina and then, you know, Pirate Lord Jaina.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Yeah. I'd be fine if they said, you know what? The snowman is a dumb alt and we're getting rid of it. Now she has a giant ship that appears and shoots mana bowling balls at people, like in that in-game thing that she did.
Mana bowling balls, yeah. Just like the pirates used to use.
Well, that's what like they are, the right? Answer. Aren't they fake? Isn't it all just mana crap in her ship? That ship's just shooting.
Sure, yeah. It's just, you know, typically we call them cannon balls, not bowling balls. But I like...
Oops. Sorry, Bo, you were saying something.
No, I was just, I can't remember what I was going to say. You guys, John was being
confused. It was a good point to make. I should not refer to cannonballs as bowling balls, regardless of whether they're made of mana or not. anyway, yeah, like that's a cool idea, but there's no way you can, well, I don't know. Maybe here's an idea for the game moving forward. What if you could, when picking Jaina, this is maybe too complicated. But
no, go with it. I like it. But, I think I know where you're going and I like it.
You pick her and go, oh, I'm going to be Jaina, but I'm going to be new Jaina, where she's more of a arcane kind of stuff going on. And it's a whole other kit. Or I can choose ice Jaina like she is now and have that kit. You would have to do that kind of across the board. It's not that different than what Varian does, I guess, except it's every character would have this option. So that's complicated, though, isn't it? Because you're basically creating a new character at that point.
I think they just do it like they do with Hearthstone cards. Like Hearthstone had cards. Like, isn't there like Nat Pagel, and then that got retired. So then they have Evil Nat, fishing monster or whatever. Like they literally do it in Hearthstone. I don't know what. I feel like the stock. Oh, I remember what I was going to say. I feel like the dev team is going to answer like, there are tons of characters we want to put in this game. We're not at the point where we need to double up.
Right.
But the idea is actually just so cool in the case of Jaina that an exception should be made.
Yeah. I mean, she's got some special stuff going on. And she's still such, unless you pick her Demon Lord skin, she's just kind of, you know, happy-go-lucky Jaina, which we've not really actually seen for a while in the game. Mm-hmm. The game being World of Warcraft.
I hope she turns into a bad guy so bad.
I don't want her to be a bad guy. I just want her to be, I want her to push boundaries. But I don't know if I want her to be full on like, it's too easy for everybody to go, she'll be a raid boss by the end. I hate that because I think that's just too easy for people to assume things are going to be raid bosses.
Like, but like, what else are the big bad guys going to be like in the video game?
Well,
I hope she's a quest mob I have to kill. There's a raid boss. You know, like,
there's a really, like,
what else is it going to be, critics?
She's going to be all over the place in story bits, and so will Sylvanas and everybody else. But this idea that automatically makes them all, you know, end game raid villains, I don't think is actually accurate. In fact, there's a really good thread.
Well, it's reductive.
Yeah, that's true. But there's a really great thread on Reddit that I can't do this justice by describing it, but I'll kind of try. Basically, the idea is that, you know, everybody always wants some old god or titan or somebody to be the big baddie here, and that there might be something going on where she... Sylvanas is actually being whispered to by some nefarious source, and her burning the tree and doing the stuff she does while kind of in her character might actually be coming from somewhere else. And once that spell is figured out or broken, that, you know, that changes everything. I don't know. There's a lot of theories actually right now, which is great. Well, favorite time for Warcraft because I love weird theories that are probably wrong. It's
what
great.
Was Garrosh influenced by anything? I can't remember.
No, his ego.
His ego. Okay. Yeah.
I just think it's better when I hate the whole, the old gods did it. Like in the case of the Lich King, I think it's cool, but like it's more horrifying when it comes from the person. And
I agree.
What they do.
I completely agree.
That's always the best. And story continues, and it's not about good people doing nice things to each other. It's about people like us making poor decisions and maybe having to face the consequences, which is, you know, in World of Warcraft terms, raid boss. That's the worst outcome for a character.
That's true.
They get killed.
It doesn't even mean they have to die. They get creative with that stuff, and they get them down to zero, and then there's some sort of intervening by some other character. All of us get stunned, and we sit there spinning our heads for a minute while there's some dialogue going on. Like, there's stuff you can do. I didn't do raid team raid, the final raid. What's it called? Antorus? No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't do that with the team. I did it LFR, which I just, you know, if I don't do it with the team, I'll do it that way. And that was a great ending because, should I give this away? It doesn't matter. You die in it. Everyone dies as a group, and it's fantastic. And your ghost has to get up and run to, like, this little green patch thing that this lady lays down. I'm not doing this justice at all. But my point is they can get real creative about how that stuff ends. If Jaina or Sylvanas or somebody like that is part of that, it doesn't necessarily mean they end up like Arthas and they're dead at the end, or, you know, most raid bosses, they end up dead. It doesn't have to go that way. So I don't know. All I'm saying is I've never been more excited about the lore of things because they are personal. They do come down to individuals and people and orcs and stuff and infighting and things that we can all relate to and not some giant eyeball that's whispering something to me.
Yeah.
So I'm way more into that, and I like it a lot. I'm really enjoying it.
I do like the giant eyeballs, but I think you're right.
Yeah.
And I think my favorite moment in all of this, just to give it a shout-out because I think it deserves appreciation, is Kyle and Kristen. Kristen specifically has been playing through Warcraft 3. Mm-hmm. And, you know, clicking Sylvanas as a unit in that game where she was introduced, and she said one of her voice lines when you click her, which is, "We will slaughter anyone that stands in our way." And you just hear Kyle take a breath, and then he says, "Came out of nowhere."
That's awesome.
What a character shift.
Look, we always knew what we had with her. So everyone should just...
I keep waiting for the expansion where we're all the size of planets and fighting on space. You know, because there's an escalation to everything.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to islands a lot, but one of these days when we're level 250... we're just going to be the size of galaxies on big space platforms.
It'd be like fighting. Tron. It'd be like that Tron arcade game. Yeah, I like that.
I mean, Antorus does end with us fighting the embodiment of Argus. Like, we fight the planet, sort of.
You know, that's true.
There's an escalation to RPGs, though. You know, you get powerful and the enemies get more powerful and it scales up. It's a real challenge, I think, for Warcraft to be like, there's this giant galactic threat. Anyways, on this island, some orcs are being misbehaving, so go get them.
Well, they have, I mean...
there's some tree on fire now.
Look out, crabs!
It's how they build the larger world. It's like, here's this big thing happening, this overarching thing, but then also, look, you're on the ground here, and we're all out of monkey pelts. Please go kill some monkeys.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, okay.
You know, it's not usually monkeys.
They gotta start that cycle over again, because they can't escalate into infinity.
Right.
That'd be worse,
right,
honestly. How we felt in Legion running dungeons at the beginning, where it's like, good lord, these heroes that are trying to stop the burning Legion invasion are being taken out by seagulls. What's going on?
Yeah, that was pretty good. Those freaking seagulls, dude. F those guys.
Send that to fight the Lich King, because apparently that's all we needed was one of these.
Yeah, one-hit seagulls. From freaking Ashara's Hole or whatever the name of that encounter was. Anyway.
Was it Ashara's Hole?
We're going to get an Ashara cinematic, which makes me think.
I thought we were going to get it already. What's the holdup on that thing? I wonder.
I think it has a little surprise in store, is my guess.
All right. I think she's your big bad this expansion, but we'll see. Anyway, I like all these ideas. Zappy boy, bring him in. And I like Bo's idea that it'd be cool. I mean, it's just too late now, but it would have been cool if we'd had his troll character in Heroes already and we didn't really know it. And there may have been some reference to, like, ooh, look, there's a yellow or there's a pink-haired troll in the fight during the cinematic. I wonder if that's him. Ha, ha, ha. And then we'd finally find out in this old soldier thing, oh, it is that guy, and have him develop as we already have him is kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, not like the little retcon they pulled with Probius.
Right.
Where it was like, hey, that was Probius, and everybody collectively went, no, it wasn't.
They did do that. They were like, wait, when have we shown a tiny probe do anything? And they're like, oh, dude, that one we just put out for the Legacy of the Void, that had a probe in it.
Cinematic is good.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. It's one of my favorites. Actually, the StarCraft cinematics, sometime go to YouTube and just watch them all.
Yeah.
So good.
But that one, I just love that one so much.
Yeah, that one's really good. So is the one where they're flying in.
The Heart of the Swarm one?
I'm trying to remember. Is it Heart of the Swarm?
Yeah, I don't know why flying in, and I'm like, that sounds like
Heart of the Swarm. I think they're in an overlord.
Yeah,
like,
one of them comes.
It goes through the overlord's like pucker hole where the bile drop comes up, and you're just flying down onto the Dominion.
I don't think it was a pecker hole, but yeah, I think that
I said
was a
pucker hole. Oh. Pucker. I don't know what that is, but I didn't say pecker hole. But that's what Zerg stuff looks like. Like, Zerg stuff is literally draw a purple mound and put some sort of urethra-looking thing in it, and you've got a Zerg unit.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're not wrong. But I love that one. It's the one that also has the gnome air freshener for the first time.
Yeah.
And now we have that in, what's-her-name's ship? I said car.
There's anyway. That part of that cinematic where the siege tank's, like, careening around the corner, and then the Ultralisk just comes around and shreds it.
That's that may be one of my favorites. It's super epic. And that giant, what are they called? What are the big ones called? Jimmy's thing. What's it called?
The Hyperion. The Hyperion's one of them, but the Battlecruiser.
Battlecruiser. That one that just, like, dips down and creates basically a nuke across the planet. The
Yamato cannon.
Dude, that is some, like, Warhammer 40K business. I love it. It's really good. Anyway.
I just want more StarCraft cinematics.
I do, too. I just want more
StarCraft
cinematics.
StarCraft feature film, please.
You know, it's funny. I feel like they've never done this before, and I should clear this up. Who was I talking to? You guys? No. It was the Instance guys. Tomorrow I have to do a big disclaimer because I had said, oh, I'll bet this old soldier cinematic is done with that kind of middleware tech that's between full cinematic and their animatic thing.
The Overwatch?
Yeah, the one they use for a lot of the Overwatch stuff, the one they used for Heroes.
That was the variant cinematic. It was like, we used Overwatch tech.
Yeah,
the variant.
There it was. And I was excited because I was thinking, oh, this is them getting that more online and whatever. And I asked, and I was sure of it. I asked Taron Gregory, and he says, no, that's like, that was made at the time of this main cinematic, and they've just been holding it all this time, and it was done at the exact same time with the same team and everything else. So they've just been holding on to that thing. So all the people that were like, oh, way to quickly whip that out after the tree burning thing and all the controversy and try to cover it up with this new thing. And I'm like, I don't think you guys know how this stuff gets made, man. Yeah. They didn't go, we're pulling an all-nighter. Let's do what it takes normally 10 months.
Let me just get into Adobe Premiere here real quick. We'll just cut it together.
Yeah, what a load. But anyway, things are going real well over there in WoW Town, and it'll be nice to see if some of that stuff from... Yeah,
Old Soldier is not the last one we're getting. I have to believe that.
I think it may be the last one that's like fully rendered.
Or something like that. But yeah.
Fully rendered maybe, though. I don't know.
The fact that they ninja'd it on us means now they could ninja it again on us at any time. So I'm on cinematic alert.
Yeah, that's a good point. So we'll see how it goes. Hey, White Mane's here. Speaking of which, I went and ran Scarlet Monastery just for funsies.
Yeah.
I did.
Did you fight White Mane?
I did, and I did it so that I could do that. That's the reason I did it. I took my hunter in there, laid waste to everything, single shot, and it was just super dumb. Thing to even do. And it's Cataclysm level stuff, because remember they updated it, so it was all brought up to Cataclysm. But at level 110, you just murder everything. And so I went in there and actually got some decent transmog out of it, because a lot of that got updated, whereas the old stuff's horrendous, so you don't want it. But anyway, got to her and heard her do all her stuff. She never laughed stupid. Like, the laugh thing never happened.
Yeah,
but
how different does she look? She didn't laugh at all.
She didn't do that. She didn't do this. Where is it? She didn't do. Wait, don't I have? I thought I pulled this out so I could use it anytime I want.
Uh-huh.
I did. Oh, here it is. No. No.
Yep, green needle.
Green needle. No, that's not it. Where
did, there we go.
Where did I put it?
White Mane's famous line when she came out and said, green needle.
That's not it.
This week on White Mane.
I can't find it. I don't know what I did.
I mean,
with
you
it.
Posted all three laughs into Slack. They're probably all in there.
Yeah, I just don't know where
I'll send them to you. Just tell us about your experience.
Anyway, but my point was, she never did that thing. She never did that. Which is, I was 100% totally cool with. Oh, here it is. Nope, that's not it. All right, well, I'm done looking. I put it somewhere. I don't know where. But anyway, she's it was fine. She dropped, she came out and told her dude to rise up and fought him and killed everybody, got the loot and left. So, and got some achievements, because I guess I'd never run that with the character I had. I went in there.
And now she's back as a Death Knight.
She is. She's back as a Death Knight, and now she's back again in Heroes of the Storm as her original form. And probably we'll get a Death Knight skin at some point. But anyway. So what do we think? Do we like her? Like, where are you at?
I guess I'll facilitate a lot of this because, Scott, I know you didn't play her.
I
was hoping you had as our support, because I don't play enough support. So I get in and I basically go, I don't know. I press the button and they got health. Seems pretty good to me.
Yeah.
Got the John support stamp of approval. I did a thing and health was attained.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of fun with her. I had a lot of fun, you know. It ended up being a lot harder to get her little healing buff on as many people as I thought. I guess I expected it to be a little bit like Stukov, where it would be pretty easy to put that on a whole bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
And the cooldown is fast enough to where I found you can pretty reliably keep it on two. You can get it on three, but you're not going to get as much out of it. But yeah, she seemed to put out a lot of healing, and it seems like the answer to her is to attack her, because she doesn't seem to have an answer to being attacked.
Is the rotation, not rotation, but is her kit fun? Did it feel, I don't know, you have a rhythm to it and just that stuff we're always looking for, the look and feel of how they play?
I went with a very simple build for her. I know there are options where she can do some stuns or some roots, things like that on her kit if you combo correctly. I did not go that route. So for me, it was a very simple, like, you know, fire my laser at them, fire my laser at my team, because I did take Clemency, which I think is a really good skill.
Yeah.
You know, Q as needed, and then try to whack people with that, you know, it makes a cross or whatever ability. I don't remember what it's called. But
it's a plus sign.
Oh, yeah. It's a plus.
Oh, yeah, it is a very plus sign. Yeah, they avoid religious iconography as best they can, even though it's sort of obvious what they're doing. But
or an X if you're at a particular angle.
Yeah, that is correct. Bo, still not all fired up about White Man.
I'm not gonna talk about it. I think
I was trying to egg you a little.
I know we do a show and people, you know, might probably want to hear from the new hero. It's newsworthy, but I think I said a lot of negative stuff just about her, and I feel kind of bad. I've been complaining lately. I want to be positive. I want to focus on positive things. Yeah. She falls in the camp of heroes that I strongly dislike when they launch. And it's all personal. I didn't like Malthiel too much because he didn't seem like the Reaper of Souls Malthiel. And I love him now. I'm just getting around to playing Alex Straza and really liking her. And I wasn't big on her. So I know with certain heroes, I probably just need a bit of time and distance from the announced time to approach it at my own pace. And you know, the VO people, you know, did consistent great work. The artwork's great. I love, there's that guy who does a lot of the art for it, this Oscar guy, the Raspberry at the Future. He works, I think he does concept art for them, but he worked on this hero, and the artwork is amazing. I love that big painting of her sitting on a throne. That's you know, I love all of that. But the hero in the game is just pushing all the wrong buttons for me, like, aesthetically. As a personal tasting, not because it's poorly done.
Right.
And so I'm just like, I played one game with her and I felt upset.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to play this character. So I'm just going to give it some time. And maybe in a couple months, we'll talk about how great she is. But I can't do it. I dislike the character. I almost want to use the H word, you know. Right. Polar opposite from Yarel, which whom I love and still do.
See, that's what's so funny. Yarel and I are kind of having the same. I couldn't really get too bothered about her release, and I really haven't played her. I don't really care to. Like, I'm not feeling any drive to get her going. Yeah. And I'll probably do like you're saying. Sometimes just time passes, and you're like, oh yeah, I am in the mood for whatever weird thing I was opposed to before, and that'll probably happen with Yarel for me, but.
I mean, that's the nature of the game, really. It's always interesting to see who you're going to be pulled in by and who you're not. Every time they put a new warrior in the game, I think, oh, well, this is for me. I've barely touched Yarel, and I was really looking forward to her.
Yeah.
But I got in, I played a couple games with her, and I just went, not right now. This isn't what I want.
It's not your bag. And, well, plus some of your other... Warriors got some nice stuff. They're almost new themselves. Not new, but, you know, they got some tweaks.
Diablo got some new stuff. Artanis got some new stuff.
Sure.
It's true. In the meantime, I, you know, occasionally will hop on Blaze. Not a lot. I'm not playing a ton of him, but I'm having a great time with him. And he was another one that came out. And at the time, I was like, oh, this isn't doing it for me. I don't like Blaze at all. Now I like him.
Yeah.
So it's a shift. It's a constant shift. And it is funny to see who takes on to what when it comes out. Sometimes they rework your character and you fall out of love with them, like Scott did with Malfurion.
Yeah, and Karazhan for that matter. Although
Scott, I played a few games of Stukov since the changes.
Yeah.
I think it's still a comfy ride. We're still good.
Well, technically,
I enjoyed my Stukov games.
Those changes are in now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'll play them tonight. We'll see what's up because I'm. Was nervous about it, but Comfy Ride sounds good. I'm into that.
It still feels the same to play. I don't think you'll feel that bad, but we'll see. Sometimes, but yeah, he's got some interesting.
I'm very nervous about him, but yeah. I'm trying to put that aside.
Probably not worth a big long discussion, but I did play new Chromie.
Oh yeah, how's she? What's her thing? She's still annoying, and makes me want to kill her, or am I going to like her better?
It's a little hard to say because I didn't play a lot of games with her. I think I only played as her once. And she feels very much the same as what she was, but she definitely... I could feel the hit. I think they might end up tweaking her numbers a little bit. But then we played a game later against a Chromie where it was a Chromie and a Li Ming. Let me tell you, that created the exact opposite scenario where just you'd be standing there and all of a sudden you get hit by 8 things and you just go, I don't know what happened. I was alive a second ago and now I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
Lisa. That's quick. That was weird quick match stuff, though, which we'll get to in a second, actually.
Oh, yeah, really?
So it's a little early to say, but I'll just say this. I think if you liked Chromie, give her a try, see what you think. I don't think she's going to set the world on fire. She seemed a little weaker than what I was used to, so maybe she needs some tweaking further, but that was my initial take.
All right. Chromie, still a threat, maybe. Maybe.
Maybe.
Hey, good news, everybody. Twitch drops are back. This is actually great. I like when Twitch does this. Even though sometimes the games they give you for free are super rinky-dink and old. But they're getting better, and I do like when they do deals with game companies to do loot boxes, stuff like that. They're doing it again with Heroes. In fact, they had the best deal going. They had $48 worth of cards for that game Eternal that I talk about sometimes, John.
Mm-hmm.
That you tease me about. That's a really good CCG.
If it makes you feel better, I tease everybody about card games. You should have seen what I did to Bo's stream last night.
Oh, yeah. I saw Slaggy.
He was basically trolling me. If it wasn't John, my professional co-host of a podcast and friend.
You would have banned this person.
It would have banned him.
I think that's hilarious.
He's like, he did the thing with the cards. Oh, the enemy. He did the cards. Bo thought about his cards and played the cards. Wow.
Maybe now you should use your cards.
Yeah, use a card.
Him advice. No, it's giving good. Him some good tips.
It's good stuff.
This round, use cards.
Well, Eternal's real good. And anyway, they gave you like $40 plus worth of cards away on this Twitch thing. So I always like to see when that happens. And all you got to do is watch the Western Clash. You get free loot boxes. And you got to make sure you're linked your Battle.net account to your Twitch account. I long did that forever ago. I don't think you have to relink it. So yeah, that's all you got to do. Wait, when's the Western Clash? I thought it was over.
No, it's coming up. I think it's...
What am I thinking of?
Let's get this new site up. It's crept up on me because someone said, you're going to watch the Clash? And I was like, what?
What am I thinking of? I'm thinking of something else.
It's... I guess yeah, I
got to be soon because it's the midway point between the last big event and BlizzCon, and BlizzCon's not too far away. It's tomorrow is what people are saying.
All right, tomorrow. Hey, look at us with the late breaking news here on the Core Show about when
it
esports
did,
is.
Though Bo's right, it snuck up on me because usually, you know, I'll be honest, I fall off a little bit in between the big events. I don't watch every single week to week, but I do like the big events and I like to jump in for them, but just so much has been going on, I cannot believe it's already tomorrow.
It's which been busy too for everybody.
Means BlizzCon isn't that far away either.
No, it's like right around,
that's the next one,
it's right around the damn corner. But you get free loot boxes, so do that, link it up and watch. I don't know how much of it. Do you have to just tune in a little? I don't know how it works.
I think I don't know what the algorithm is. I've heard like 1 hour. I've had seen people say I've watched for hours and not got anything. I think it might be a little random. I think it might trigger at random times. So
maybe they know
free
what
stuff they might, can't watch it. Just keep it open.
Yeah, maybe they know what your they know what your viewing habits
they
are.
They know if your eyes are on it.
Well, they know if your mouse is moving.
Do they?
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I want them to know
that.
If my mouse is moving. That's private.
This is the age we live in. Like Amazon knows how many seconds you spend on different products. You know, like they know.
Yeah, on the page.
I looked at something on Amazon the other day on a different computer, and I got home, and there were ads for the thing I was looking at from Amazon in my browser, and I was like, freaking spyware, you bastard!
It's so good. You want to know what the best one is, though? If you log in, and I'm not saying you should do this before all the security people come out and talk to me. There was a reason I had to do it. It came up. It happened, but it worked out great. If you ever log into like your personal Chrome or whatever while you're at work, you get everybody at work's algorithm tied to you. So I couldn't figure out what happened because all of a sudden, I got home and I started getting ads in Spanish about babies.
Oh, so the network, it's network traffic. It's everybody's.
Uh-huh. And I was like, why am I getting Spanish ads for babies? What is going on? And I kind of panicked for a moment. And then I thought, oh, wait, it's because I had to do the thing at work. And so the next day I freaked out my coworker. She hadn't said a word. I walked in and I said, hey, congratulations. Wow. And then walked back to my desk, and she was like, how did you know? I was like, the secret.
That's amazing.
You know, because of big data.
Yeah, big data. It'll get you.
John's in the market for a Spanish baby, so look for that.
If you know any, nope, I'm not going to even go down that road.
Let's look at that road and see it for what it is and continue on.
And turn the other direction. Sure.
Move to another one.
Do a U-turn. Anyway, do that. Go link it. And that's all good. Hey, ranked play and matchmaking Q&A. We are going to get to this now. I think this is important. What do we want to cover here, Bo? Let's talk about loss forgiveness and performance-based matchmaking are on the horizon for the game in that order. That bums me out because I thought performance-based matchmaking was like the hot...
It was announced at BlizzCon.
Yeah.
And then it made it in, I think, around January with the big update. And then it got pulled right away. And they're like, we need to work on it more.
Mm.
So it's been out since then. So they're still promising it coming. Basically, the way this read, I think I have it, is like the next two features you can expect to see, like as major flagship features, I guess, is the loss forgiveness and next performance-based matchmaking.
Okay.
In that order.
And loss forgiveness, for those who are sitting here hearing that going, what the hell's that mean? What does it mean?
So here's the state of ranked right now. If you go into a draft and you're troll or I don't know, you're whatever, you just want to dodge the draft, you lose 600 points and you got to go play quick match games. However, if you disconnect from a live game, you only lose 200 points instead of 600. So anyone trolling is, so the deal is with draft, if you disconnect there, everyone gets back to the menu and can re-queue. If it's in a game, they get a bot and you basically handed your team a loss and you're less penalized.
Right.
For leaving in the game. So they're going to fix that. So that system doesn't work that way anymore. And they're also going to make it so that if you have a bot on your team and you win, you'll get some points. But if you lose, you won't lose any points.
Okay. Do you get less points if you win than you would have if you didn't have the bot?
I can't remember if they said. I didn't see that detail in the Q&A, the AMA today.
Mm.
They might have said that at some other point. Yeah. Nothing's set in stone, so we don't know for sure.
I mean, it sort of makes sense just logically, but maybe there's a reason they wouldn't. I don't know. But that's good to know.
You should get more points.
But if you lose, good point. Like if you win,
and the person leaving would eat a penalty, big penalty.
Right, eat your penalty and like it. That's what I say. All right, that's cool. They're working on that. I like that. Also, getting players to invest more in ranked, which I wish I was more invested, and that will help me do it. Maybe they say we're actively considering adding a season quest that players need to complete in order to obtain their season reward. This may take the form of a tiered system, as you suggest, or could be a flat and simple objective. This is in response to people playing the minimum amount of ranked games and then peace out. That's basically what I did when I did
it. I think that's what, if you were to look statistically at the majority of people who ever set foot in ranked, probably the majority play a bit of games and then they're out.
Yeah.
I mean, the sad reality is that the incentives, as far as rewards that they give, they're where they're at. And for group, it's, you know, basically complete the games and then stop. For solo, you have to hit certain tiers, and the epic version of the mount is, you know, almost at the highest level.
Right.
It's locked behind masters, and there's a lot of stuff online that's like everyone's masters. Everyone is not. 77% of the player base does not get the sweet mounts and may never get the sweet mounts.
Well, the sweet mount is often the same blue goat with horns this time. Like, it's not like it's that different or better.
I'm just saying, like, they don't want to hold. I don't think they want to fully hold back rewards. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that to me, like, if I got in and I got my mount, okay. If I'm doing it for the rewards and all of that, as opposed to liking ranked mode, then okay, I got my thing. I'm done. I don't need to do it anymore.
Kind of my thing for sure. I may have taken a bite of something just now.
Oh, that's okay. There's also if you play Hero League or if you play Team League, John, I'm trying to let him chew. I was like, well, you know, he's tossed the ball to us. He's like, here, carry it while he's continuing to stuff his face even as I speak right now.
I'm in a hurry.
I can see his head, see the food flying from his mouth. In this case, they do actually offer extra XP and gold for playing ranked and even more for Team League. Turns out, I forget all the time. I think this incentivizes no one to play that mode.
Yeah.
So they do need, you know, I'm not opposed to them making it more fun for people to want to participate. I'm totally for it. So whatever they got in their sleeve, cool.
Man, we'll
I just
see.
Thought it was very good to hear them say this because I never heard anything.
I just don't want some other grind, you know? Like if that season quest is fun and I feel compelled and the rewards are great, then yes. But I don't think I don't know. That may not be enough for me. I need to see it.
There's other stuff that needs to be fixed.
It shouldn't be a substitute for other content, but if they can come up with a way to make that compelling and interesting, I think the goal should always be let's encourage people to keep playing games because that's what achieves everything. In the more games you play, the better you get, the better you get, the higher you progress, the more you progress, the happier you are, and it's...
I guess what you're trying to say, John, is it's not solved by this alone, but this would be very welcome.
Yeah.
Like needed. Right. But there's other things that we're going to talk about that they said, and I think in tandem with all of that could be very attractive.
I agree. Let's see. Sorry, skipping ahead. Displaying MMR. This is a thing people have been begging for a long time. They're actually going to do this? They're going to show you your MMR?
They do intend to display MMR to players as part of the performance-based matchmaking system.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a new visualization of hero performance that helps them reinforce what it means to people. So it might not just be a number. It might be some sort of context-y screen in your profile. But they're looking... It sounds like probably we'll still see the same ranks and stuff, but you'll have access to your MMR, perhaps, or some sort of information. I think they're going to do something that's a little more curated to the user experience than just, here's your MMR number. and here's a giant book about mathematics and how we've, you know, what, like, I think it's going to be very user friendly.
Yeah.
But it sounds like this is coming. This, we will have this at some point. You will know what your rating is.
So I'm not going to see, I may see mine, but I'm not going to see you guys in the, like, oh, look at Bose, it bumped up 3 points or something. I'm not going to see that.
No concrete details, but my sense is that you won't. Or if you can, it might be in the API, which they actually mention a little bit later, or some other, there might be some means of finding it, but it's not going to be front and center like a lot of stuff. You know, you get the cuddly things like your win rate and the easy to grasp stuff at a high level. So I don't know how nuts and bolts it's going to get right on the login screen about MMR, but that's, that information might be accessible. They haven't strictly said that, but it sounds like you're going to get to know your MMR, which is, you know, helpful enough on its own, I think.
I think so too. I'm a little terrified, but I'll still look at it.
Again, the reason why some folks want MMR is they just want to play Hero League Investigator. There's lots of those who want to determine why matches are bad.
Yeah.
They're all, you know, it's Law and Order, Hero League. And that's what they want it for, and I don't think Blizzard wants to serve that client base.
Why would they, I mean, why would that be, is that fun? Someone thinks that's fun to do that.
It's just, you know, I guess this is the vibe. You guys should listen to the Chris Metzen interview that Scott did, but it's to vibe off what he said. You know, we're geeks and we like to take things apart and put it back together. It's
Interesting. That's the theory.
Why doesn't the radio work? Well, I'm not going to take it in to get it repaired when I can open up a book on electronics and do it myself. Anyways, I thought that was really, you know, true what he had said. And I think that's the same thing. It's just our impulses to go like, were we really that bad or is this broken?
Yeah.
Let's find out.
Want more information. You queued as Abathur last night, and I was like, this means we're going to get a weird comp. And we got a weird comp. Is that true, or is that me doing confirmation bias? I don't know. But that's what is interesting, is that we look at that and we try to get that information. Like,
well, you'd want more information so you could develop a thesis and then come on the show and say, I have a thesis.
Man.
Yes, I'm going to put this bubble pipe in my mouth, and I'm going to tell you what I think.
A bubble pipe? I haven't seen one of those in a while. You should have one. Whip it out. It'll go with that hat.
I really should.
It'd match the hat. All right. Well, we learned something there. The more you know. Congratulations. Also, they are pruning promotions and demotions. We intend to remove promotion and demotion games, or promotion/demotion games, between divisions in the future, keeping these higher pressure matches limited to moving between leagues. We don't have all that on the schedule at the moment, so I don't want to promise a timeline for delivery, unquote. So they don't want to have...
I love this.
I do too.
I asked for a long time ago.
Seems like it wouldn't be hard to implement either. I mean, I understand priorities, but...
I've spent so much... sorry to interrupt you, Scott.
No, you're fine. Go ahead. No, you're good.
I've been bounced around Diamond 5, Plat 1, and Plat 2 so much. I go up and down all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And... It's just an annoyance because sometimes I don't win those promo games and I lose all those points.
That makes perfect sense. Why are we doing it between every promotion within the rank? I guess
it looks like a big deal, right? And I think if you spent a month, in Platinum 3, let's say, and finally you're at the end boss. Let's do some promotion. Promotion is an artificial way to keep people from rocketing up the charts.
Right.
But we don't spend months. I can go between, if I played every day in a week, I could probably vacillate between Plat 2 and Diamond 5 like 36 times. And it loses all dramatic feeling or importance once that's the case. It's just an annoyance.
Yeah.
So I think it looked cool on paper when Blizzard launched the Hero League system as is. And I think they're just scaling it back. And I think it's.
I think that's the right move. I think that is actually going to keep me more engaged and worrying about my rank play than anything.
Yeah. Also, like your odds of being toxic or having bad feelings during a promotion game are way higher.
Yeah.
Like I don't get tilted in my losses, but when it's a demotion game and I'm like, I'm going to lose this game, these guys are going to mess it up for me. Like it's extra anxiety that you don't need. So
that's damn straight. I do like this next one. Reconnecting and replays improved. We've been doing some research on how networking model implementations affect player experience. While improvements are still in progress, we have made a few fixes, which are already live. Most recently, with the White Main patch, we were able to improve efficiency of how the game is sending user input over the network. The result is 2 to 3 time reduction of bandwidth consumption. This might be good news for streamers and stuff that have that kind of, like, I'm by the fourth game, something breaks for me and I have to restart the game before I can keep streaming. I have to end the stream, end the client, run the client again, start the stream again. It's really weird. Anyway, improving gameplay experience for players with challenging network conditions, as well as speeding up the rejoin process for cases when network is a limiting factor. A nice byproduct of that is that replay files are smaller in size as well. So, looks like they're trying to improve it. Doesn't sound like a complete fix, though. Small tweak.
But it's huge for replays, because when you load up a replay, you got to load it up like a normal level.
Yeah.
Then you got to seek if you're seeking something, and that can take, get up from my computer, take a solid 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if that speeds up the, I want to find a clip and share it, like,
I gotta fix great. That.
So this is all good. This was like the biggest thing for me. I was like, yes.
Yeah. All steps in the right direction. I totally agree. Yeah. API still planned as in April. Our focus remains on improving gameplay experience for now. However, an API is still something we plan to do in the future. So for now, you're still gonna have to rely on HOTS logs and other sources that aren't exactly scientifically accurate, but it's sort of the best we have until they offer up something else. So there's that.
Yeah. Although I will say, Hot Slugs is someone, I think the user goes by the name of Critic Kitten, but I think someone in the community, I think it was that person, went to great lengths to demonstrate with some Blizzard confirmation that Hot Slugs is not that bad. It's within a reasonable margin of error that you can rely on that data.
Well, you get enough data. I think you get enough volume of data. Eventually, you're gonna get pretty close, and they're probably pretty close now. So that's good. Also, it's nice. Well, I worry sometimes that HotSlog is so good enough that makes Blizzard think they can just keep putting off doing an API. But I don't know.
Well, they've really improved. The guy who was running it was run by one guy.
Yeah.
People put all this expectation on it. They sold it to the XAM network.
Yeah.
Is that the Wowhead guys? Anyways.
Yeah, that is. That's Wowhead.
Yeah. So they're like under new management now in the site. Because I've derided it a lot. I still have my reasons to do so. But the site itself is good. It's got a good community team behind it. And it doesn't bog down your computer. Like, I would recommend using it now, basically.
What was the old, what was that old site before Wowhead kicked off? You would go there.
Thoughtbot,
dude.
Oh, I remember that.
F those guys. They're gone, right?
I think so.
Oh, it was Poopsky. I mean, Wowhead came along and you were like, oh, okay, here we go. This is a website.
Or do you want to go even further back to Alakahasms?
Oh my gosh, I forgot all about that. No, I don't. I don't want to go that far back, if that's your question. F that, also.
As if it's 404 not found, doesn't exist anymore.
Good. It was bad. All right. MMR visibility. Oh, they talked about potentially showing rating instead of a rank for Masters Plus players, as Masters is just a point scoreboard. So I can see why they're thinking of that. They say, can Duo Queue return now that we have voice comms? Was that the problem with Duo Queue?
That was the question asked of them.
Yeah, but was that the problem with Duo Queue before? Is that you couldn't?
Yeah, a lot of the complaints were that it felt like Duo Queue, that if you and I queued up as friends who play together every week, have good synergy, we have this huge advantage, and also we'll be on comms. Like, we'll call on Skype and wreck these fools, right?
Yeah.
But now that the whole team can be on comms, that theory is out the window, because you two might be on comms, but the five players, it happens. It does happen when occasionally all five players go and everyone's like, let's win this. Let's be polite. Let's go. I've had those games and they're amazing. And you stop the other team. So that lessens the severity of people duo queuing, because it's a level playing field again, in theory. In fact, if you duo queue and call in Skype, whereas your remaining three members are willing to talk on Skype, on phone call, but you're splintering yourself from it, you're actually doing a disservice to the team, in theory.
Mm.
So I never considered this. And I saw the question in the AMA and I went, oh, maybe we can have it back now. And I think I kind of miss one friend and wanting to come in, you know, and hang out and just, let's go try hard in Hero League. Sure. And
I agree. I miss it too. I played more when I was duo than when it wasn't. So, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, voice comms really sort of changed how I feel about this, I think, as well.
Well, plus just, I don't know, I think they should have figured out a way to not get rid of it in the first place.
The other complication that DOQ presents is to, you know, a Masters player playing with a Bronze player and then wrecking Platinum or whatever, you know, like, so they have some, they'll have to put some rules in place for that.
Yeah, that's all true. Okay, how about this one? Can we get a ready check? John, do you want to have a freaking ready check just like in WoW? Do-do-do! And everyone has to click yes.
Only if it makes exactly that sound.
It should, actually. It's a triggering sound.
It is. Yeah. It really is.
You know, if somebody plays that that sound, you will pay attention if you've played WoW. You'll go, what? I'm needed for something? Hello?
Yep, it's like Tetsemi's waiting for everybody, basically. I don't know how this would work, though, so let's go through it. Like, they say they're in discussions to form a ready check, but when would it be? When are you ready checking?
So, if you haven't... they had it in League, so I know what this is. You're waiting in queue.
Yeah.
You know, your queue might be 5 minutes. And the queues have been longer in order to ensure quality games, especially in the ranked modes. So you get up and go make yourself a beverage. But then the draft starts, and you're not back.
Oh.
You know, you just wasted a bunch of people's time. They've got a re-queue.
Yeah.
Even if you lost a point, it's very inconvenient on the experience. So if you fail the ready check, then the queue just won't pop. Right. You know, they do it in WoW. Like, when you do a dungeon instance, there's a ready button. You know, if you LFR and you don't press accept, then you don't go to the raid or the dungeon. So,
right.
Yeah, that's all this is, but in Heroes
4. Okay, I could see that. I hadn't thought of it that way. I was thinking it was when the countdown was happening before the game starts.
I mean, I've had it happen in PTR where you go to play the new hero and it's 1,000 seconds. You know, it's a solid 20 to 30 minute wait.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally get a game, even in quick match queue, because people can leave just as the seconds are counting down.
Yeah.
And it happened to me. I think it was Chromie release. Ugh. 30 minutes. Finally, I get to play Chromie. Like, no! Another 30 minute queue. No! That's why I don't PTR anymore, new heroes.
Cause
I guess unless you go with a 5-stack, even then, I think it takes a while.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
Well, all right. We'll see how that goes. Says here, when we have a quick match matchmaking, where there will always be a tank and a healer? Or when will we have a quick match? Okay, so they're saying, will there always be a tank and a healer when we start doing that? Sometime this fall, coming to a quick match near you, they said.
Yep.
Interesting.
Ready.
A tank and a healer. Ready. I mean, that means something, though. That means something more than just that's a good idea, because it is. I'm with John. But this also means they're getting enough variety in the queue to accommodate it, right? You know what
Maybe,
I mean?
Maybe, or that, you know, wait times be damned. If people don't play supports, then they don't play supports, so we have to find a different way to solve it than just throw people into, ultimately, a game experience that's dissatisfying.
Mm.
Better to wait for a satisfying game experience and try and fix that instead of, I had a quick queue. Great. Oh, crap. Murky Nova Zeratul. You know, or like the one John was complaining about earlier, it was Li Ming and Chromie. And Li Ming took Wave of Force.
Mm-hmm.
John was Butcher, and he butchered in. And as soon as he connected, he got cat litter on his head, cat litter in his face. Then he got a big ball on his head. And then he got waved to force away, so he couldn't even sell veal, and then he was dead. And then it was like, he's like, bah! And like, in this system, it could still happen, but it was like 5 assassins or 4 assassins and a healer on each team.
Yeah, so it was Chromie, Li Ming, and Nazebo.
It's just getting shredded.
Yeah.
It was just humiliating. And it, you know, it was like, and it didn't feel like, we weren't being very strategic. It just felt like, just don't fight anymore, John. Just go farm blood for the
We
rest
won
of
that game, though, didn't we?
We did, because they didn't end. So,
that's right. They had the chance.
That's not something Blizzard can fix. When they wipe your team at level 23 and go to all 5 of them go to take camps,
really?
And then decide as you respawn to take the core and you kill them and then win the game,
We lost, but we won. Because,
that's awesome. You know, I love that.
Because
that's
people right. are too frightened to go after core once level 20. It's hilarious.
Way, and to, I mean, way to go.
I don't know what this is going to do to, because I mean, that was rough. That was rough as a butcher, but I you know, it was what it was. But we also had a 3 specialist tank healer match that we played that was over insanely fast because we had a more traditional comp, sort of. I mean, we had, this was the Abathur one.
Oh, they had an Azebo too. Sorry. In all that combo, you'd also eat 8-10 frogs.
Worth of yeah, there were a lot of frogs.
Level 20 poison damage.
And I was in the middle of a bunch of zombies. It was
your
bad.
Health bar was gray as soon as you connected. Just, the whole thing was poison.
Wow. And that's with me taking the spell shield when I charge. So it was bad. But we also had one that was a bunch of specialists with a tank and a healer. So, you know, I don't know if this combats that. I'm sure there's still going to be people who get away with really weird comps and stuff like that.
Especially if they're five stacking, they can always do whatever they want, right?
Yeah, I think that, well, I don't know, because they did talk about at some point requiring it, even if you were a full team, saying like, hey, you can't queue up unless you have a support and a warrior.
That's interesting. They end up doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, we always do that anyway when we play, but
we always do it anyway. We're sometimes tempted, but we know what the experience like, and it's just a, you know, it can be lopsided.
This is all true. All right, here's some important stuff. Part of the AMA. Oh, no, I missed this part. Other items on their list of things they are considering doing in the future. These are just real quick. Preventing returning ranked players from placing higher than Diamond 3 each season role after replacements. Reducing the number of placement games required in returning ranked players, so you'd have less to do if you came back. I like that idea a lot. Separating out the regional GM ladders to allow players to rank up with their local player base and matchmaking rule sets. They want to add draft swaps for Hero League. That's cool. Wait, draft swaps. Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's in solo mode, so you can, I'm last pick, but I'll take the healer, but give it to first pick.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. Yeah. Further extending the rank point decay to affect additional leagues. They want to do that. So there you go. Any thoughts on any of those?
They all sound good to me.
Yeah, they all seem good. All right, as part of the AMA, the devs recognize they could do more to promote Team League. They ask the community for feedback on their ideas to get us to play more. And so they said that they've been brainstorming to make Team League more attractive. Quote, we'd love to hear the community's feedback on any of this. Here's idea number one. We'll go through each one of these. Team League becomes a mode that is only available during a specific window of time for a limited duration. All right. So, I don't know. Let's say it's for a month and that's it. And then 2 months, there's a month before it and a month after it where there's none. As an example. In this version, Team League wouldn't always be available, but we would be creating a moment and celebrating the mode during these windows, encouraging players to play in it. This could mean the mode is only available on weekends or something rare like specific weeks out of a month block or a handful of times throughout an entire ladder season. How do we feel about that?
That's a really interesting idea that when you first started reading it, I was like, no. But then I thought more about it and I thought, you know, it's kind of already what we were talking about earlier and have a tendency to do, which is we get in, we do our placements, and then we say, yeah, we're good. Yeah. We did it.
Yeah.
By making it its own little event and saying, hey, everybody get in here and we're going to just play at this time and let's all go for it. I don't see anything wrong with that. That seems like that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, it does address the problems we're talking about pretty directly, which is make it a more event-based thing. That in itself makes people excited about stuff. The fact that it's just sort of always there and doesn't have a carrot for being always there. I think this would actually improve my willingness to want to play it as well.
Like how many people are five-stacking Team League Monday at 11 a.m.?
I know. Nobody, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, if you think about the mode, there's, like, even just other team sports in real life. Like, you sign up for your rec league volleyball. No one's playing it Monday morning. You know, it happens at certain times.
No.
There needs to be some structure, almost, like, tournament-y. So, John's right. I agree. Like, think about it. It sounds bad at first. I'm like, not available.
Yeah.
What?
Take it away from me.
But yeah. People don't play at all hours of the day in the regions.
Right. I agree. I did number two. Team League is updated to allow all group sizes, including solos and four-player parties.
I like this one, too, actually.
Yeah? What's the downside? I can't think of a downside.
Well, they did two and three, so might as well do one and four.
Yeah.
Yeah. If some solo guy wants to be, you know, yeah, I want to get in with the team. Like, you know, good on him. Let him do it. Let him jump in and be a part of the team league.
Yeah, why not?
More power to him. I think that this would need to coincide with a change to the reward structure, because then you would probably have a bunch of people one man in to get their 10 placements, get their mount, and then never play it again.
Yeah. But make your season quest better. They're discussing making that better. So,
yeah.
And also, sometimes what doesn't I find happen in this game, except in quick match sometimes, actually, no, not in quick match, in AI. Find good teammates in AI. Like, the way AI works is this: you find the people that are just there to actually learn the game, but some people play AI just to mow AI games over and over again, and those people find each other by playing randoms, and then they start forming five stacks. Especially when everyone was grinding out the vulture mount on the alts. You'd find somebody who got it and be like, okay, party up.
Yeah,
so team league should be a place, or could be a place, where you man, you're really good. We're a four stack. Join our five stack. Let's just, I don't want to get another random when you're clearly good. Are you playing another game? Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not to mention,
that's a nice thought.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
They can't exactly force you to use voice comms, but to me, if you're going to solo queue into team league, you're committing a pact that you're open to voice communication. You're looking for the team play experience.
Right.
And that might actually create a natural divide between people who they want to play ranked, but they don't really care about the communication. They're not into it. They don't want to be on voice comms. They play in solo ranked. And the people who want to be in voice comms are going to play in team play for more coordinated play. And I would actually like that, because I'm, you know, on record of saying, like, if I play ranked by myself, I don't really want to be on comms, because I will usually do that while I'm watching Netflix and doing other things at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what has discouraged me from that is I feel like if comms are available, I should be responsible and I should be in them if I'm in ranked.
Yeah.
And it's just not how I want to play. So I just end up avoiding it altogether.
Yeah. You're me, basically. It's kind of how I feel about it, but I like what that would encourage. Idea three is this, excuse me, team league and hero league in a single queue. They say this has some obvious issues. Excuse me. We want to make sure that our dedicated Hero League players feel like they can have it, the quote-unquote pure experience. It's kind of racist, isn't it? Just kidding. It says, I don't know.
Well, they didn't define the pure.
It says, maybe having multiple ladders based off your group size, specifically a solo queue ladder, would alleviate concerns here. At least then solo queue players would be ranked only against other solo queue players. I don't know. That one's complicated. I don't know if it works.
Yeah, I think it's a little weird, but maybe if they have a creative presence, like, this needs to be baked a little more, because I also don't get it a little bit, but I think there's something here. It's just, where are the solo queue players coming for the four to pair up with the four mans?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you queue up in ranked, if you're like, I don't know if I'm going to get a team league game or a hero league game. Could be one or could be the other. I don't, like, maybe that's okay. Maybe it isn't. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. Who knows?
Interesting.
Finally, their idea is turn team league into a more structured experience that embraced players forming permanent or semi-permanent teams. I already like this idea because I always like that idea, but that's how we already play. So it probably doesn't matter to us. But anyway. Essentially, players would create a team name, have a limited roster of players available. It's a kind of almost like a mini version of clans, isn't it, that we've been asking for. Anyway, potentially customize something visual to represent their team, etc. In this version, teams would likely last an entire season, or this could be combined with something like the first option, where this is your team for a limited window of time. I like the idea. I mean, they're basically describing a five-man raid, like a dungeon run, except you're always required to have those people in. So you've all locked in, said, yes, we will be the team. And then you play your games as that team. There's something about that I like. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe it's just an organizational thing. You know, I know where the commitment is or something, but I something about that I like.
It's good, but it's not complete because part of this, like, part of the things I kind of want for this game is that we have this ladder, which is this infinite treadmill, and you get, you know, your EP is as big as the color of metal that your rank is, basically.
Yeah.
Like that's the loop.
Yeah.
But I find like the idea that with your team league game, rather than trying to just get masters, what if, you know, it was an arena style thing? Like, as I know, tournaments are tough to automate. Like, get 64 teams into a tournament and play as an automated system is probably going to be very difficult logistically for players, for 64 times five players to sort out. But what if it was like arena, where you in Hearthstone? So you make your five man, you lock it in, maybe you have two subs, and you play till you lose three games. And the farther you go, the bigger your rewards. And at a certain point, maybe the farther you go, you just do it for the points. So someone could be like, man, my my team league team has gone 24-0. Now, the rewards capped off at 12, but we're trying to go as far as we can. And like something along those lines. Or maybe it just stops at 12. 12 wins, everyone gets a special mount. Maybe there's your special mount. We got 12 wins in team league.
Yeah, there you go.
Good run, you guys. Next month, we'll try to get 13.
See, that sounds like fun to me. That sounds like a really good time.
Like, rather than everyone be like, well, what's my MMR? You know, the streamers have made names for themselves being good arena players in Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Crip is like, he's on the launcher the other day, and that's mostly all he plays. And everyone recognizes him as a really amazing Hearthstone player, and yet he doesn't play the ranked ladder. Right. Like, he's, like, every time I tune in, I always see him. He's not a legend most of the time. I guess he makes it there. I don't know. Yeah. But I was listening to him talk yesterday, and he's like, I only play ranked in the first week when the new cards are out. Arena's where the skill is. And I stream my stuff, so people, like, it's on the record. And it doesn't have to be on the record for you to enjoy yourself, but it's just there are plenty of arena players who don't have this notoriety, who play arena, are satisfied that they are consistent winners, can go infinite. There's a reward loop there to keep them playing arena. Why not make that our team league experience?
Yeah.
And why not build it? That's arena was a genius mode added to Hearthstone that provides the tournament experience, but decouples scheduling issues.
Right. Right.
And that's what makes arena super awesome. And so why don't we just make Hero League? I don't know, make it any size of teams. Make it more of a shit show, basically, but more competitive, and then make rank, or, you know, turn the team league thing into arena, and the best teams will be like, we went 12-0 eight times in February. We're the best team league team. Mm-hmm. I don't need a number or a graphic because that stuff is there. I feel like the people over there doing this stuff are like, and they're trying to make matter. They're just like, they had the hair I had. They're just like, how do we make this, you know, genius system? And even Riot, I look like a ridiculous person. even the Riot people, you know, they get criticized all the time for their rank system being dumb. And I'm like, maybe the whole thing is dumb.
Yeah.
And we just need to get over having to have a rank, and let's have a fun, dramatic beginning, middle, and end to our journey. And improving can be our team went 3-3 this time, but next time we went 5 wins and we got to the, you know, the fifth level boss and we fought another team with 5 wins.
I think you're on to something. I really do.
That, I said that, you know, we went, I was telling people about this idea when we went to the summit. We flew down there and got to meet people, and I got positive feedback on the idea, but it, you know, I kept trying to spread it, but it didn't catch on. So maybe this will catch on. So dev team, if you're looking for ideas for team league, my idea is the idea, and I give it to you for free. There you go.
And it goes, and you can still
big ego about how this is going to go.
You can still have Hero League. Idea. You can have Hero League, so you can have your solo EP deal, right? Have all your ranks and everything. Just keep that the way it is. Make Team League not just a team version of the same thing. Make Team League have a very different goal set. I think that's an awesome idea. Like, I really genuinely like that.
We have a Team League team. Like, that could be Kyle and Kristen. Join us and we play, and our day is like, all right, let's try and go 2 wins, let's try and go 3 wins, and we draft every game so we get the draft experience. And that would be more fun than us playing and be like, well, I guess I'm the bronze player on the team, and I guess I'm the silver player, and, you know, we've got the rainbow con, you know, like,
I totally
that
agree.
Sucks. Honestly, totally agree. I don't like feeling like when you say, Scott, and it's not your fault. Well, you know, I guess I'm Silver One. I hope that they're going to look at me and lick their chops. You know, it's like, why don't we just get rid of that?
Yeah,
I can't guarantee. I want to play with my friends in ranked, and my friends have all the different MMRs, basically.
Right.
So it doesn't work. It doesn't serve me. That's the obstacle to Team League. I can find the time to play with people, but it's not fun, you know, when you're like playing against other Diamond players because we got Kyle on the team.
Yeah.
And you're Silver, and your reward is you get 200 points towards Silver. Like, you just want to kick the game and be like, this sucks. So, yeah.
I really like that idea a lot. I don't know if they'll do it.
It's Brawl's Brawl. So I think they originally called Brawl Arena. Is that right?
Yeah, it was called Arena.
So Arena is free. We can do Heroes Arena.
Arena is back, baby.
I'm announcing it here.
5-on-5 Illidans. Or whatever their dumb idea was in the beginning.
It's Brawl. So, yeah.
No, I like it. I get strong.
I'm calling it and announcing it here.
All right. Well done. Mark this day.
Play the crap out of that mode.
Make
do you guys agree?
Yeah. John, do you have any disagreement with this great idea?
No, I think that's a good idea.
I think it's great idea. I love that idea. That's just an outside of the box. Rethink it. Quit getting trapped in what you think of the rules. Just rethink what Team League is.
Yeah. And you know what? If anyone listening is, you know, writing articles or spreading word about things, we never address you directly, but I know some of you are there listening. Write them, tell them you want this if you think it's a good idea, or write your own ideas on your blogs. Yep. I know some of you listening out there have those that get read. Start spreading the word that we can fundamentally, if you like the idea, don't just do it because I say it, but don't just, they're not going to listen to me.
Right.
They follow Scott, they follow John, they don't know who I am.
Yeah.
So you have to go and spread the word.
Well, I'll tell you what. The guys over at Warner Brothers, specifically, who makes Mortal Kombat?
NetherRealm. Tyler.
All our friends at NetherRealm. Yeah, the NetherRealm guys, you guys over there making Mortal Kombat games. You got a little influence, you know? Just call up your Blizzard friend.
Yeah, call up Blizzard.
Yeah, I just want to give those guys.
Tell them... You know, and you know, if they need help, I will come on as a Team League consultant.
Oh, good.
You can hire me for a number of weeks as a contractor. I will fix I'll make Team League
great,
an incredible experience.
Yeah.
And then come back to do core.
Yeah.
You know,
you make it important. Great again. Yeah. I understand.
Is that bad? Is what I just did really bad, or is it okay?
No, it's totally fine what you did.
All right. I just feel like I'm being pretty arrogant, and I look disgusting.
All right, John.
You're my hero during that, and I just... Anyways,
I like it. John, I want you to read this next bit.
Okay.
As if it was a 90s sitcom. Get ready for the next episode, okay? So you ready? Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's a hard one. Here we go.
Yeah. I didn't write it. Hey, kids, do you like dungeons? Well, there will be some this week at a special time, Sunday at 5 p.m. Pacific. There will be dungeons. Join us as Roy figures out what to do about the broken down car. He's got to get to prom with Stacy, but his little brother put sugar in the gas tank. Hijinks ensue this Sunday on There Will Be Dungeons.
Nice. Well done. Yeah, we only had a tiny sentence written, and I wondered if you were going to be able to improv that, and you totally did. Well done. Nice job. Hey, you know what that means. Quick email from listener Ben, who is not our Ben.
not our Ben.
Different Ben. Who wrote in to the email core@heroesforyou.com. He may have just done it on the website. You can do that as well if you go to heroesforyou.com. There's a little link at the top that says contact us. Boom, you're in. It says this. Bo often talks about his love of Chen.
Family.
I think he's fun.
I bring pandemonium.
Pandemonium. He says, I think his kit is fun and his kit is interesting, but I suck at Chen. Anyway, could you teach me how not to suck at Chen? What talents are good and what the hell do I do so I don't just sit there and chug beer while being useless? Thanks, oh Ben. God.
So glad you asked.
Yeah. Give us a Chen. Give us your Chen, your best Chen breakdown.
Yeah. So you got to recognize his weaknesses. First of all, he can't peel for your teammates. So you can do a little bit of that. but you're basically there to, you have a few strengths. One is your Q, you can jump to the other side of a person, meaning that you can body block them. That's like, that's one of the first things, just understand the concept of body blocking. You can Google that information. I'm not going to do a full clinic on Chen, although it might make an interesting video. I'm just looking up his talents right now, because you asked him about talents, and so I'm going to give you a few thoughts.
All right.
But basically, the first thing is he does have the ability to body block and disrupt in that way. The other thing is if you played Illidan, if you don't play Illidan, this might not help you, but people sometimes call him Fat Illidan, and the reason is he has short cooldowns, and he can hop around and stick to people when he wants to. You can chase them down forever. The key is to not over-rely on your D, which is where you drink and gain shields. Sometimes I'm... So the thing is, like, the criticism with Chen is often his trait is bad because you get stunned out of it. But most of the time I'm like, well, they're going to stun me. I know it. So I keep my cooldowns up. And when they stun me, I'll use my cooldowns. And then by the time you've done that, the D is back up. Mm. They got to keep stunning you. Your D cooldown is faster than all their stun cooldowns. That said, you're not invincible. In lane, when you're 1v1ing, you're pretty much invincible. Don't take shots from the minions, but when it's 2v1, learn to run away and play carefully. You do have to play carefully, and you can find friendly minions and things to queue back to jump back to. I realize that I'm just shooting out a bunch of information here, and it's you're gonna have to find your timing to do that. He doesn't do a lot of damage, but he does a lot of consistent damage, and when he's not doing damage, he can just hang around and be a presence. And enemy players have a hard time not auto attacking you. They see Chen and they know they won't kill him, but they still want to fight you. And you got to leverage that psychology to let your teammates do other things on the map or sneak up on them and then create a favorable fight for you.
How do you feel about it? What ultimates do you roll with these days? You're always the barrel man, it feels like, in our teams.
I'm barrel man 100% of the time. Mm. So I'll just go through the talents real quick that I like. There's a few builds with them, so I'm only going to suggest the one because we only have so much time today. Scott's super hungry and he's been eating the whole time, much like Chen
would be doing.
So this is thematically correct, and I encourage it. I like freshest ingredients. So one of the things about the shield that you should know, and it's true of anyone who shields, but specifically in Chen's case, if you have a lot of regen, while you're shielded and taking damage on the shield, you're healing yourself. That healing goes up and it's not getting pecked away by the enemy team. So this is good. So sit there and drink and regen's good. So I like freshest ingredients. You're going to be hunting 30 globes. So, you know, that's something you'll have to practice, is being mindful of rotating and grabbing all the globes you can, including winning the enemy ones in your lane, which you can put your hitbox over and stand on when it's enemy. They can't get it. And then when it flips over, you take it. That's how to be a bully with Chen on the level one talent. Level four, I like either Deadly Strike, Keg Toss has its uses, and Breath of Fire. This is really a flex pick. Ring of Fire, great for clearing Zagara's creep, for example. And if there's a lot of melee, just good damage. But they're all good here. For level seven, sometimes Boulder Flavor makes sense when they have lots of small bursts, because it takes time for your shields to pile up. So getting the shields instantly allows you to time your D so that when that Wailing Arrow is coming out, it doesn't touch your damage, which I quite like. Also works with Flying Kick so that you can ensure kick procs. With the level 4 talent. Otherwise, Purifying Brew is actually really good. You get 30 spell armor while you're drinking. And this one gives you an automatic... If you get stunned while drinking, it refreshes the cooldown of your drink, so you can just drink again.
Oh,
which is amazing. Yeah. It solves a lot of problems. It's super good talent. The ultimate, I take Wandering Keg. Now, this is a skill-intensive thing you'll have to practice, because Keg is very tricky to use. Basically, it's like an ETC knockback, but ticking like every microsecond. So as soon as an enemy comes into your hitbox, it pushes whatever direction in 360 degrees of motion, it seems like.
Yeah.
So the way to use Q properly, to basically do a Stitches hook, to bump them back to your towers or to your team, is Q. Your Q will jump them onto the other side of the enemy hero. Then when you ult, you turn into a barrel. Don't push back right away. Push forward a bit and then back.
So you, if you push back right away, you actually might barrel him down or up for a place you don't want. You need to give a bit of running room, like really quick, and then knock back. And if you get that good hit, it's like golf. You just keep bunk, 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 bunk. And they're going to try and run away, and it's going to be hilarious and cute. But by then, your teammates should have an idea of what you're doing and go for the kill.
Nice.
Yeah, and the later talents are a little more pronounced for me. I generally always take pressure point because I like the slow, but the spell power reduction, Withering Flame, is also good. I always take teammate shields at 16 because it gives your teammate shields, and all of a sudden, if your team was dying a bunch in the game, all of a sudden they stop dying because you're just pumping shields on them. It's pretty good. And at 20, there, he has his basic abilities can heal 1.5% of his maximum health. That's pretty much the auto pick there. It just stacks on top of your freshest ingredients, and you become a lot more unkillable. It's a very good one.
Has he ever really had a rework of any kind since his?
He did. Debut? Yeah, yeah. This is a rework. It's fairly thorough, actually. I wouldn't say it was insane, but it was on the level of a rework. Actually, I'm glad you mentioned it, because just one more talent I want to bring up. Elusive Brawler, super good against Thrall. This gives you evade on basic attacks for 2 seconds completely. So when Wind Fury hits you, none of the Wind Fury, if you time it right, it's on the one button. Mm-hmm. You don't get hit with any of the Wind Fury. And it's got a low cooldown that you can make even faster by using abilities or something like that, or by auto-attacking.
Yeah.
Elusive Brawler on one is a good niche pick when they've got a severe auto attacker like a Thrall that you know you can just full-on hard counter. So there's some talent picks. Generally speaking, you stick around and be a nuisance and chase people down until it gets scary, and then you run away. Don't be shy to use your barrel to get away if you have to. It's low cooldown.
There you go. Yeah. Chen Stormstout, everybody. Lili's uncle. There he is. Who's a good support with him? Just a quick note about that. Who do you want with you?
Sometimes a good Morales can be pretty good, but he does run away. That's the other thing. You do have to be mindful of where your healers are. You don't want your healers chasing you into danger, because oftentimes they'll get killed because you can't peel for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I like somebody who can top me up pretty quick. Morales kind of my favorite, but generally speaking, it's healer wise. I mean, a lot of them would work. Stukov does his thing. I think the silence is probably pretty good. But I'm trying to think of a combo. Lili with it. You know, the classic combo is Chen and Lili pushing in a lane while he drinks.
Get a little family going there. That's all right.
He's not so much a combo. A good combo here with him is actually Illidan. The most fun games I ever have is when he hunts someone and then, like, both of us never detach from the chromie that we're kicking their butt. So
yeah, because you're kind of self-healing a lot anyway. So traditional support isn't that.
They're very similar characters who self-heal in similar ways.
That's pretty great. The idea that panda and that demon hunter are related in any way is kind of hilarious. There you go, Ben. If you have any further questions, anyone else out there listening who wants to send in a question, it's real easy. core@heroesforyou.com. That's core@heroesforyou.com. All right. That's going to do it for today's show. Huge thanks to everybody for listening. We are going to be playing some games. If you want to stick around and watch, you are more than welcome to. In fact, you're encouraged to. You might learn a thing or two from our little team league group. So stick around and see what's up there. You can support this show at patreon.com/core show. Links to that and everything else we do at heroesforyou.com. And as always, follow us on Twitter. Core Heroes, John_Jagger, Scott Johnson, and of course, Bo Schwartz. That's going to do it for us, for me, for John, for Bo. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
That's a good question.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.